Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka-Butler is here with us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the planet. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Samoa is going to be our first port of call, where the Prime Minister has banned the... Is it the only remaining newspaper in Samoa?
Yeah, it is. A population there of about just over 200,000, so they don't have too many readers, I suppose. But yeah, it is the last daily newspaper. It's called the Samoa Observer. And the Samoa Observer and the relatively new Prime Minister, Laulima Lealima Leotoa, and that's just his surname. There's five others to come after that, but we'll stick with that. Have never really got along, okay? Because the Prime Minister isn't a fan of freedom of the press, and the press are a fan of freedom of the press, and they like holding him to account. So recently enough, he went to New Zealand for medical treatment. There was a problem with his leg, apparently, and he was supposed to be there for a week, but he ended up staying there for 8 weeks. And during his time in New Zealand, the Samoa Observer wrote a few articles about him being abroad, sort of questioning, why is he there? What's he doing while he's there? Why isn't he telling us what he's doing while he's there? And he wasn't happy about that, right? And that kind of doubled down, or that unhappiness, shall we say, got worse when he came home, right? And they were waiting for him at the airport, as you would, Prime Minister coming back.
Yeah.
He got into a car, went past them and went straight home, okay? And found a few hours later some of the journalists on his lawn, effectively. They'd kind of broken into the house. So he wasn't happy about that. Bit of a skirmish ensued. One of the Samoa Observer's journalists was actually injured in that. They have since sort of filed a police complaint. And so at the press conference, not yesterday, but Monday, a week ago, he called one of them out, a woman by the name of Marietta Ilalio. And he said, get out of my press conference. The Samoa Observer is not welcome here anymore. And he later announced that he was banning them. Now, he says it's a short-term ban, temporary ban, but he hasn't indicated how long it's going to be for. So I don't know. It reminds me of somebody else.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say this all sounds
a
bit Trumpy. The remaining reporters at these press conferences, are they all like, you know, influencers?
Yeah, well, there's radio as well, and there's
all right, okay, that's them. They can string a sentence together.
And websites and the like. So he, you know, he has said, the Prime Minister said that he's still committed to a free and vibrant press, just not this one.
Yeah.
That's what's happening there.
Yeah. Are the other sections of the media making any comment about this, or are they kind of a bit worried the same thing might happen to them?
That's an interesting question. I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, I had a bit of a listen to a podcast or an interview with the editor of the Samoa Observer on ABC, I think an Australian Broadcast Corporation or whatever it's called. And he didn't indicate that it had extended out to anybody else as such. But he didn't say whether others had commented. I think he was kind of quite happy to take on the mantle of being the most robust newspaper or news agency in the country. So they're sticking with it.
Was it established what was on with his leg?
No. I don't know what it was exactly, and we don't know why he was there for 8 weeks. That hasn't been verified yet.
Yeah, and was he saying that they're just slagging me off about my leg or my extended break in New Zealand, or was he claiming anything specific that they said about him that was inaccurate?
I think they didn't like the overall questioning of why he was in New Zealand and what he was doing there and why he wasn't communicating with the people of Samoa as to what he was doing. There was also, I believe, there was a doctored image there was an image that was published of him meeting the foreign minister of New Zealand, and it was doctored somehow, and they were questioning that. But again, I don't know what exactly was wrong with the photograph and what he was defending, unfortunately.
Ah, right, okay. We're going to go to Spain next, where is this the first Feng Shui cemetery in Spain?
It is.
And is this what they bury furniture there? What does that mean?
So there's more I think to feng shui than just your house and interior design.
Okay.
I think it's a whole kind of philosophy and kind of Chinese philosophy, obviously. And it involves qi, which is an energy that flows through everything.
Yeah.
And permeates everything. And yeah. A lot of people believe in it. And it's not just inside, but it's outside as well. And apparently it's been used to settle land disputes and all sorts of things as well. So there's a lot more to it than we think over here.
Okay.
And certainly there's a cohort of people in China and Chinese people in Spain who take it very seriously enough to spend 2 years to go around the country, or at least in the locality of Catalonia, to try and find the perfect site for this place, right? So they are opening this cemetery. It's in a little town called Monistro de Calders, which is in, as I said, Catalonia. And it is about an hour away from Barcelona, because I started thinking to myself, is there a critical mass of Chinese people that live in this little town?
Yeah,
The whole population is only 800 people. So obviously not, but Barcelona is nearby. So obviously people are going to use it there. And there's a decent amount of Chinese people in that part of the world.
Okay.
And apparently 70% of them come from an eastern county called Qingtin, which predominantly they follow that particular philosophy,
what I mean. So
they've been on the lookout for it, right? So they found this place and it's perfect because it runs north to south. Apparently it's bordered by two rivers. It's dotted with pine trees. It's a beautiful description. And it's far from any town centre, and there's no factories or wires that can interfere with the qi.
Yeah.
Or the flow.
Yeah.
So they've picked this particular site and they're delighted.
Yeah. And are they got permission for it to be a cemetery?
Yeah, they have. It's all good. The mayor of the local town has said that most people appreciated the economic opportunities that might come from this. One of those being that it has to be built by locals. That was one of the caveats of the planning permission, if that's what they needed to get.
Up until now, then, if you were Chinese and
into feng shui, yeah.
And you demised in Spain, what happened?
So you'd either get your remains sent back home.
Really?
To China, that's what they did. Or they would put them into a Western cemetery.
Yeah.
Which obviously went north to south, or they just made do.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, okay. Well, congratulations to them.
Yeah, it's good for interracial harmony in that part of the world. Yeah.
Indeed. Philippines, we're going to go to next, where the mayor has been jailed. Was it human trafficking, among other things, she was involved in?
Yeah, so this is Alice Guo is her name. She has been sentenced to life in prison along with seven other co-accused from the Philippines and from China. Interesting woman. I'd say she's probably in her late 30s, early 40s. She is still claiming that she's from the Philippines, even though authorities are fairly confident that they've established that she is, in fact, Chinese.
Huh.
She had hoodwinked a lot of people for an awfully long time, to such an extent that she ran for mayor of a small town called Bamban, a population of about 60,000 people, about an hour north of Manila, right, in a very mountainous sort of region. And she had run and she had won and she was the mayor of this town. But while she was doing that, she was also organizing and running a scam centre, which had dozens, if not hundreds of people from China and other nationalities who were working, who'd basically been kidnapped. We've covered these scam centres before. And it was uncovered. So authorities started investigating her. It appears to me they started in probably in early 2024 to investigate her. Right, there was a state ombudsman, is what they're calling it here, who dismissed her from her post as mayor. Because of grave misconduct, as they called it at the time. She then decided to leave. So she left the Philippines, ended up in Indonesia when she was deported from Indonesia, arrested there and sent back to the Philippines to face trial for these particular charges, which is, as you say, human trafficking and for running this particular establishment.
Yeah, and I assume that the scam centres have been shut down since.
This scam centre has been shut down. So what I believe happened here was that a person managed to escape and raise the alarm, and that's what started the investigation, and it's led to this. But there's quite a few of them there in the Philippines. And apparently, there's a good few strands to this, to be honest with you. Apparently, during Duterte's time as president, he kind of turned a blind eye to it.
Mm.
And there was a lot of sort of brown envelopes doing the rounds, even within Manila, And so they kind of made it look as really legitimate, but it wasn't at all. But when Bong Bong Marcos, that's the son of Ferdinand Sr., Ferdinand Marcos, he came in, what is about 18 months now, 2 years ago, maybe since he's been there, he turned that around and he started cracking down on these locations. And they've been quite successful in that. But there's an added element to it, if I can, if we have time.
Of course, yeah.
And what they're saying is the authorities are saying that they suspect that some of these places, and they pointed this at this particular person, Alice Guo, are being used for spying. So they suspect that this might be going on as well. And what I think is going to be interesting here is to follow this and see, like, Alice Guo has denied any connection with China at all. And she said, of course, because I'm not Chinese, I wouldn't be spying for them.
Mm.
But it'll be interesting to see if now the Philippine authorities attach this to her,
yes,
and sort of funnel the propaganda.
Mm.
But you know, there's a bit of a spat going on between the Philippines and China. So I suspect that she might be, this is pure speculation on my part,
yes,
but that she might be back on espionage charges in a year or two.
Yeah.
You know?
That's absolutely fascinating. And she was convicted, but and the others were convicted as well.
Yes.
Now, the others, were they all Filipino or some of them Chinese?
No, some Chinese and some Filipino, we
yeah.
believe. Yeah.
And what sentences did they receive?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that all of them were fined 2 million pesos, which is the equivalent of about 25,000 euros.
Okay.
I'm not sure how long their sentences were.
Or maybe they haven't handed them out yet.
Maybe they haven't. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. I've got to be honest. Alice, the main person in this story, life in prison, though.
Yeah. She did a runner out of the country, though.
She did. When she lost the job as mayor, she left.
Yeah.
Was picked up in Indonesia. They deported her back.
Right. Okay.
Or deported
her. Because it'd be interesting. Did she go to China? Would that be a bit of a telltale there? Yeah. Brazil, and I suppose a long-running saga you've been telling us about. Jair Bolsonaro has now been decided to be a flight risk and being detained because of that.
Yes, it's interesting the way you put it. He kind of did decide to be a flight risk in many ways. So you remember Bolsonaro was president, obviously, before Lula. And when he lost the last election, there was a kind of tried to imitate Trump with a kind of a coup in Brasilia. And he was found guilty of plotting that military coup in September of this year. So not long ago at all, sentenced to 27 years. But instead of sending him to jail, they said, OK, well, we realise, you know, you're former president, so treat you with some respect. And they put him under house arrest and put an ankle bracelet on him.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, that's pending an appeal. Thanks. And so he started apparently recently tampering with that particular ankle bracelet. Right. And so the police were alerted to that and they interviewed him. Right. And in this interview, which was released by this court, the police official questioned the former president about the damage to his ankle monitor, and Bolsonaro said that he burned the monitor's case with a soldering iron out of what he called curiosity. Now, you can imagine him saying it as well, the head in him. But that curiosity,
I wonder what happened if I saw through these metal bars.
Yeah, exactly. That curiosity happened to hit him on the same day that his son had organized a very large protest outside his house, okay, to fight for freedom and all that kind of thing. So it was an interesting coincidence, and it's a coincidence that the justice, Alexandre de Moraes, is not believing, okay, or just doesn't believe. And so basically the Supreme Court justice has said, okay, we're not keeping you in the house anymore. You can't be trusted. We're going to throw you in the clink. And I don't know how long he's going to stay there for. But for now, he has been taken out of house arrest and put in jail.
And why would you have doubts about him remaining in prison?
I don't know, because pressure might come from other parts. Now, I mean, politically at the moment, you know, I suppose the people in power want to see him in prison. Mm. Pressure might come on from elsewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that Trump has been invested for whatever reason in the welfare of this man. Trump has, didn't he slap a tariff on Brazil off the back of their treatment of
Bolsonaro?
I think
he did, yes, yeah.
So, you know, he might put pressure on them again. But so far, it looks like Lula and the authorities in Brazil have not backed down on that and not listening to Trump's pressure.
The, but I suppose the fact is people did vote for him. So there, yeah. there must be a considerable amount of support for him still in the country.
Yeah,
and so
is
all of this perhaps a little bit destabilising?
Absolutely it is. Yeah, absolutely. And what you got to remember that before, when Bolsonaro was in power, Lula was in prison as well. So there's every chance that if Bolsonaro is able to hang on, although he's very unwell, he's a very unhealthy individual, that he could maybe run in the next election, although I'm sure they're trying to stop that from happening, or someone sympathetic to him, such as his son.
Yeah.
His son's name is Flavio, and he's a senator, quite a powerful individual. You know, he could get into power and pardon him. So, you know, it's just a case of hanging on and causing as much trouble as you possibly can.
Apart from messing with his ankle bracelet, was there any evidence that he was actually trying to leave the country?
It's a good question. The evidence that the Supreme Court justice came up with was that he had a history of planning to request asylum through diplomatic representation before. And he said, well, you know, your house is only 13 kilometres from the American embassy. So he put all of these together, the Supreme Court justice, and he basically said, look, you're just too much of a flight risk. As you said, he called him a concrete flight risk.
Yeah.
So there he is.
Yeah, okay. We should keep an eye on that one. The United States, we're going to finish up with, where Superman is worth $9 million. This is the comic, of course, not the actual superhero.
Yes, absolutely. This is a copy of Superman number one, which apparently is among the most desirable comics in the world. And certainly, judging by the price that it got, $9.12 million this sold for at auction, right?
My word.
This dates from 1939, okay? And the reason it's so significant is because it marked the first time that a character in a comic book had their own title devoted entirely to them, okay?
Mm.
And this was bought by a woman when she was 9 years of age. She was living in San Francisco, but she lost it. Classic story. She lost it. She knew that she had them lying around the house somewhere, died, and then her sons were clearing out the attic. And they found it in a box between a stack of newspapers. And the fact that it was in the box between the stack of newspapers probably added about $3 million onto it, right? When they sell these comics, apparently they sort of grade them on a 10-point scale for their for how well-preserved they are.
And they're usually in a plastic covering as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this scored a 9 out of 10, which is slightly unprecedented. The comic that held the record before this was an 8.5 graded copy of Action Comics number 1, which featured Superman before, but with a load of others.
Okay.
And that had sold for something like $6 million, and that was an 8.5. So the fact that this was 9 added $3 million onto it.
My word. Is it known who bought the comic?
No, we don't know
who
bought
it,
and we don't know who sold it. We know there were three sons, but they have asked to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
They explained how they found the thing, but they don't want their names in the press for good reason.
Yeah, and presumably, whoever bought it has got $9 million
to spend on
a comic. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, a few things coming up. Wednesday, Rachel Reeves is delivering that budget in the UK, much anticipated budget in the UK. There'll be lots of coverage on that. And then Wednesday, are you a fan of Stranger Things?
I watched the first series and then I wasn't so engrossed in it that I continued watching it.
I know
it.
What you mean. Lots of people are big fans, including my missus. And that's final series starts on Wednesday. So that'll be big news. And then Thursday to Sunday, the Pope is going to Turkey and Lebanon. And then on Sunday, there's elections in Kyrgyzstan, parliamentary elections in Kyrgyzstan, which is one of the more democratic, shall we say, of the stands.
Yes.
Yeah, so don't be expecting next week coming back with somebody won 95% to 1% or whatever. And then there's also a presidential race in Honduras as well, which could be contentious.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a million as ever,
thanks,
Jonathan. That was Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.